Thank you for joining us on this podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. The locals would say we are just a little bit east of the intersection of 7th and 106th on 106th. God's blessings to you. We hope to see you on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Peace be with you.
I'm going to return to the reading for a second. It's on pages 2 and 3 of your pew Bible, if you want to look at it. Starting with Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. You notice that sometimes we get this idea that this is Satan. The Bible seems to suggest that it's an animal of some kind, and it's named the serpent. And this serpent says to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" Now, the dialogue that had occurred between God and the human creature occurred between God and Adam. God and Adam. And he basically said that in the center of the garden was going to be two trees. Tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And didn't want to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" Now, I didn't go back to read Genesis 2 to you, but that's not quite what God said. She's amplifying. She's giving additional information. It's facts not in evidence, you might think, if you were an attorney. But God hasn't told them anything about dying or any of that kind of thing. She's making an assumption. And by the way, she did not have the dialogue with God. The man did. But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God." Boy, that's an alluring opportunity, isn't it? I mean, wow. You'll be like God. That marketing 101, all right? You eat this stuff and you're going to be like God. This might be Dr. Oz on his commercials trying to help you with weight loss. Those of you who are not familiar with what's going on, Dr. Oz is a little bit of trouble over telling people they would lose weight if they just ate these products. But here the serpent says, "You will be like God. You will not die. Knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her. One of the funniest readings I've ever heard in my life was, Eve is the sharp knife in the drawer, and Adam is a little bit of a dull knife. It's a real funny reading. The kids did a great job with that one today. And then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig. And I'm from Georgia, so we pronounce naked. It's naked, right? N-E-K-K-I-D. Naked. Is that how we do it, Susan?
Yes.
All right. I've never talked to Susan about being naked before. Okay. And they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So this is something that God apparently did on a regular basis. Checked in to the garden and walked around. It was cool. All right? But the Lord God called to the man and said, "Where are you?" Now, we have all these omni words, right? You know, God is omni this and God is omni that, right? And one of the things is that God's all-knowing. God's omniscient, right? Did I use the word right? Omniscient? Okay. Don't hesitate to grade me here. It's all right. It's okay. Let me ask you a question. When God walks into the garden, does he really need to know where Adam and Eve are? No. The question is really not for God. The question is for Adam and Eve. Do they know where they are? Okay? But the Lord God called, "Where are you?" And then the man says, I heard the sound of in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself. And God said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree in which I command you not to eat? Now, again, God knows the answer to that question. Let's be clear. God knows the answer to that question. The man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, it's her fault. It's her fault. All right? She gave me the fruit of the tree. The man said, then the Lord God said to the woman, and then he, what have you done? And then she says, the serpent tricked me and I ate. Then we go through some things there, and then we sort of conclude with the idea of the fact that God wants to protect the garden. God wants to protect the garden. And what does God want to protect the garden for? Because the tree of life is in the garden. There's two trees, tree of knowledge of good and evil, and there's the tree of life. That's also there. Now, the tree of life emerges in Revelation. I will tell you, I have never preached a sermon from Revelation. Never. I taught Revelation one time as a class. There was a lady at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church in Annandale, Virginia, while I was going to seminary. And she was having hip surgery, and she asked me to come in and teach Revelation on her behalf. And I did. I came in and taught Revelation for 12 weeks while she was recovering from her hip surgery. She came in and found out what I had taught for those 12 weeks, and she went back to the beginning of the section, and she taught the whole section over again. That's funny, guys. Come on. But Revelation 22 is about the challenge that we have, of understanding what God wants us to do. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the fruit are for the healing of the nations. Wow. Now, we've got out in our narthex, that's church talk for lobby, okay? Out there in the lobby, we've got a tapestry that's about the tree of life. It's about the tree of life. And that passage in Revelation is about the restoration of Eden. The book opens, this very old book, this very ancient book that we read on a regular basis, it opens with the idea of the fact that God banishes the people, banishes Adam and Eve, and he wants to momentarily, for a while, protect the tree of life. And the book closes with the idea of the fact that the tree of life is there for us, and it's to help us. It's to sustain us. It's to give us strength. It's for the benefit of the nations. Now, here's where I'd like to go with today's reflection. Now, I could preach probably 5 or 6 hours on this particular topic. The kid's getting here at 1:30, so I could wrap up about 1:25, but on the other hand, some of you probably have buffet lined up with you're going to beat the Baptist to the buffet, and so you want to sort of be to get finished by about 11:30 or so if I possibly can. Plus, we've got grandparents who came in to bring Abby Garrison into the church, and I don't want to preach my sermon here, and I have preached until 12:30, and I've watched people nod off. Okay, I've seen that happen. But what I'd like to do, I'd like to just make 4 or 5 points here, and believe me, there are other points that I could have made, and I will probably come back next year and make some of those points. Okay, now the first point I want to make is how much we're like Eve. All right, now, and I'll get back to the obvious one in a second, but the one I want to really start with is how much we're like Eve in the fact that we take a fairly simple message and we complexify it, okay? Adam has not been, of course, we don't know what Adam said to her, and given the fact that he was a man talking to a woman, he probably got it wrong, right? But let's assume for the sake of discussion, he probably got it right. And what does Eve do? She takes the guidance that she has gotten about the tree, and she puts additional detail to it. She puts additional detail. There's nothing in Genesis 2 about eating from the tree and dying. There's nothing there. It's not there. She's created this. At least we're led to believe she's created this. And how often is it that we do the same kind of thing? We call ourselves Christians. We call ourselves Christians. But many times, the nature of how we understand the gospel, we actually become Paulists. All right? We understand the gospel because Paul said something to us. All right? I don't know about you. I think Paul's a good guy. I like Paul. I preach Paul on a regular basis. But when I got to have a contest between whose way I'm going to follow, Jesus' way or Paul's way, I vote we follow Jesus' way. Does anybody here want to follow Paul's way? All right. Okay. So sometimes what we do in the church is we find these things that Paul says to us, and we decide, that's the Bible that I like. That's the Bible that I like, and I want to be that part of the Bible. Jesus actually invites us to understand that he's the resurrection of the life. He's the true vine. He's the good shepherd. He's the Alpha and the Omega. In Greek, that means I'm the beginning, I'm the end. Okay? And I will say sometimes you have the idea of following Jesus sounds simple. I'm going to follow Jesus. It sounds easy to say. Does anybody here think following Jesus is easy? Good. It's darn hard. It is darn hard to follow this guy, Jesus. But he tells us in Matthew 11, come to me, all of you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens. That's us. That's all of us. All of us are weary and carrying heavy burdens. And I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I think every one of us is at some point in time in our life inclined to make the gospel hard, harder than we need to. And what we really need to do is to try to keep making it simple. We need to just keep trying to make it simple. Jesus is the resurrection of the life. Jesus is the true vine. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus would tell the lepers that whatever it was that was separating them from God was not because they deserved it. Was not because they deserved it. Now, he would ask some questions when 10 lepers would be healed. We're not 10 healed. Only one comes back to say thank you. That's sort of nature of the human condition. But at the end of the day, Jesus is about simplicity. Now, the second point I want to emphasize to us here today is that how often we are inclined to have a real good thing going on. Eden's a good thing. Eden's a good deal. Anybody here think Eden's a bad deal? All right. Eden's a good deal. And what do? We mess it up. We mess it up. We just sit there and say, you know, the idea of being like God is so cool. I want to be like God. And what happens? We just mess it up. That's the second point I want to make. Sometimes we have this nostalgia that we fall back. You know, no, life was so good in Eden. Life was so good in Eden. Life was so good in Midvale. Life was so good in Tennessee. And they brought me to Utah. And my life got screwed up. You're here. You made it here. My comment to all of us is that realize sometimes that you have a good thing and realize what that good thing is. And don't try to take on and be like God. Now, I've got my third point I'm going to come back to, okay? My fourth point, skipped over that real carefully there, didn't I? Come on, you guys work with me. Come on. You guys are a little bit of humor here. Am I failing in my humor? Skip, is my humor okay? I'm doing okay. All right. I'm not sure. I don't have any idea what I would have done if he said, you're terrible. We're loath to admit our own culpability in our current situation. often are we like Adam and Eve? How often are we like that? What's our natural state of the human condition? I made a mess of it, but it's my fault. It's Skip Poole's fault. It's Cara Heffley's fault. It's Roberta Sheminsky's fault. Where's Roberta? It's Roberta Sheminsky's fault. Okay, on second thought, it can't be Roberta's fault. We're loath to admit our own culpability in the things that happen. All right, we tend to point down to other people and other things and say they did it. It's all their fault. God says, "Where are you? Where are you?" This may be the most important question in the Bible. It's actually, if Hebrew had quotation marks, and it doesn't, but if it had quotation marks, and we have quotation marks where God actually is having a one-on-one conversation or a one-on-two conversation with the created us, this is the first question God asks. Where are you? The rest of the Bible is a commentary where we try to understand a little bit about where we are. And the end of the Bible is understanding that the Word of God is such that the leaves of that river of life are for the health of the nations. What an idea! What a concept! And the fact that it's a river, it's a tree of life. A tree of life. And it's always in season. It's always in season. July, I'm going to talk a little bit about Jesus. For those of you that are first time visitors, I talk about Jesus a little bit every week. We're going to talk a little bit about why Jesus. We're going to talk a little bit about why the church. We're going to talk a little bit about why this church. I was minding my own business in Colorado Springs and the phone rang. And the phone rang and said, "We've got a church that we'd like to bring you to. We'd like to send you there. And this church is excited about growing. It's excited about being in a different place than where it is right now." What I'd like us to do is to understand that evangelism, inviting other people to be part of this community, isn't a four-letter word. It isn't. It's an opportunity for us to share that tree of life with those who don't know what that tree of life is all about. At the end of our wedding services in the Methodist Church, we commission those that are there part of the wedding, and we invite them to go out into the world and be an example of love for those for which love is a stranger. We invite them to go out into the world and to demonstrate love and be love for those that love is a stranger. Every time I read that at a wedding, it almost brings a tear to my eye. Why do we wait till weddings to preach that? That's a great message for us to preach every Sunday. Here's what I'm hoping we can do. We're hoping we can decide that we want to grow. I heard a statistic the other day that the average United Methodist has invited one person to worship and been successful at it once every 35 years. Once every 35 years. Wow. So we're going to break that paradigm. We're going to break that model, and we're going to go be people that are going to invite others to come in to worship and experience the tree of life. That's the invitation we're going to do. And we're going to do it in such a way that we're going to focus on those red letter words that Jesus talks about. It's going to be a simple message. It can be a simple message. Now, that doesn't, simple messages are challenging to do. I think I said that earlier. But that's going to be the idea that we're going to focus on. And when we say welcome, that all are welcome in this place, I think we said that about 10:30 this morning. Did we not say that about 10:30 this morning? All are welcome in this place. It doesn't mean all, comma, except for. Then insert something there that you don't want to see in this church. It means all. I saw a great sign on an Episcopal church one day. It said, everybody's welcome. And we do really mean everybody. What an idea. Sometimes what we do in church is that we get this perception that God wants us to invite people like us into the church. No. No. We're putting additional detail on what God wants us to do. God and Jesus in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, tells us to go, make, baptize, teach. Not loiter. Doesn't say, stay inside a hilltop and wait for people to show up. Doesn't say that. Go. Make. Baptize. Teach. Now, part of the way we're going to go is that we're going to try to take a look at returning to a second service. When I was minding my own business in Colorado Springs, you had three services. And then before I arrived, you went from three back to one. And you needed to do that. Absolutely needed to do that. Now, sometimes people, we've gotten a little comfortable in this. And people say, well, why do we want to go to two services? We're doing fine the way we are. That's an example of putting additional information on God's simple task. God's simple task is go, make, baptize, teach. I will continue to argue, that a church that is not growing is a church that is dying. And part of this returning to a second service, first, is driven by the idea that we said we would. I was at a meeting the night with Sarah Burton, and somebody said, why would we go to a second service? And the answer, she leaned back and she said, well, why don't we start off with the idea that we said we would when we went from three to one? Okay? I think trust from the decisions that were made in April of 2012 is important. The body of people that were here made that recommendation. And I think it was a good recommendation. I wouldn't revisit that recommendation in the slightest. But it's now time for us to make more disciples. And I believe that there are people that are out there that are untouched because we're at 10:30. We could find some that want to experience Utah at 9 o'clock in the morning. So we're going to take a look at that. Where are you? Now, that question, I just focused a little bit on this idea of the second service. That's a question, though, you could focus on as it relates to you in a thousand different ways. Where are you? What's going on with your life? What is it that you're doing? And what is it you're going to say to God? Well, I'm here stuck where I am, and it's not my fault. It's Skip Poole's fault. It's Roberta Szymanski's fault. It's Al Rochek's fault. It's, get the idea. All right? And when we start to do that, we're behaving just like Adam and Eve. Just like Adam and Eve. And it didn't go so well for them. And I believe that passage in Revelation brings us back to the idea of what the Tree of Life is about. The Tree of Life is about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, about the forgiveness of sins, about following Christ in the world, and recognizing that message applies to all of God's children. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come to you this morning thirsting for that river, that flows by the tree of life, crystal clear, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is in that river. May we be sustained by it. May we become Christians in the world and follow the guidance of Jesus and remind ourselves that his yoke is easy and his burden is indeed light. And all of God's children say, Amen.
Thank you for joining us on this podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. The locals would say we are just a little bit east of the intersection of 7th and 106th on 106th. God's blessings to you. We hope to see you on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Peace be with you.